I'd like to define the word generation. The word generation is defined by a period of time when a person is born and becomes an adult. When children are born to that adult, then a new cycle begins. A new generation begins. And so here the average period of a generation is said to be between 20 and 30 years. And so when we stop and think about it, here is Job who lived for 140 years. And it said that he saw four generations. So what does that mean? Job saw his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, and his great-great-grandchildren. Four generations. That is a blessing in itself to be able to see your lineage that far down the road. It's a great blessing. Well, family, let's be reminded of God's instructions to us as parents, as grandparents, aunts, and uncles when it comes to the care and the well-being of our children. The title for the sermon this afternoon is Teach Your Children. Teach Your Children. The week after the feast, of course, has always been set aside, has always been set aside as the period of time when we have the blessing of the children. Now, after the feast this year, we had up in London, Mr. Evans and I had the pleasure of laying hands on one of the young people up there in London. And then last week, the rest of the children were supposed to be there, and I would have had the opportunity to lay hands and pray a prayer and a blessing over those children. But none of those children showed up. Don't know if it's because of me, because they fear me, because I'm such a bad person, but none of the kids showed up. As a matter of fact, out of the, I think, 9 or 10 children we have up there, only 3 showed up to church last week. I don't know how to take that, but I will find out next week when I travel back up to London. But the truth of that is, many of them were sick. Many of them were sick. And so, therefore, they felt like, well, they missed out on the blessing of the children. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily, because the blessing of the children can be done at any time. We as a church just set aside that time period after the feast to recognize and honor those children. Those children, those small children. Well, I say small children. When we have the opportunity to go back up, there's one young man, he's about as tall as I am, and he has never received the blessing of the child, and his parents want him blessed. So that's going to be interesting, because this boy is about as tall as me. But he understands it, and he wants that blessing. Why? Because he has heard that all of his cousins have received that blessing. And so he wants that blessing. We love his attitude. We love the attitude of his grandparents that bring them every week. They learn, they are being taught, and they want to share in that opportunity. Well, family, when we are bringing our children before God, and we are asking the elders of the church to bless our children, there's something that we want, and there's something that we expect of God. I remember all 5 of my children being blessed, and I remember all 10 of my grandchildren being blessed at church. Last year, as you witnessed, I had the pleasure and the opportunity to be able to bless my grandson. That was a great opportunity for me, and was a great blessing as well for me to have that opportunity to lay hands and pray that prayer of faith over my grandson. So with that being said, here's what we want. We desire of God to do something. We want God's protection over our children. We want God's blessings over our children. We want God to acknowledge our children. When does that blessing end, by the way? Does anybody know? When does that blessing end? I'll share a short story with you towards the end of the sermon about that period of time when that blessing ends. But yet, we want something from God. And God is going to always deliver. Because when God gives us his word, God keeps His word. And we are thankful for the fact that we can trust God and take God at His word. And to know that when we ask God to watch over and to protect our children, He is going to do what we've asked Him to do. That's the kind of God He is. We are to teach each generation that follows and to show them the way of God, the life of God, and how to communicate and talk to God. So we have an expectation of God, and God, family, has an expectation of you and me. Not just as parents, but parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. No one's exempt here when it comes to our children. We have a great responsibility before God when it comes to our children. And God's desire is to see us fulfill our role and responsibility when it comes to the care and the well-being of our children. Those same children that we asked Him to watch over, to protect, those same children that we asked Him to bless. And so, family, let's take a look at our role and our responsibility in teaching our children. Let's go over to Psalms 127 and begin there. Psalms 127, let's be reminded of what these children are from God. Psalms 127, verse 3, "Behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord." They are a heritage. They are a blessing. You know, many children are born into this world and sometimes not wanted. But yet, we're told that these children are a heritage. They are a blessing to you and to me from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. He says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Children of one's youth. And I would have to say, my wife, when we first started thinking about having children, her answer for having children was zero. My answer for having children was, come on, at least give me one. So we compromised. We had five. Somebody didn't know how to do their math. But yet God says, like arrows in the hands of a warrior, and happy whose quiver is full of them, and giving birth to children. Children, family, are a blessing. They are a great blessing. And God's desire for you and to me is to see that those young ones that we asked Him to watch over and to protect and to place His angels around, they are a gift. They are a heritage. We are to teach our children, family, even the value of a good name, starting with your name as we begin to teach them. Let's spend some time over in Proverbs 22. Let's take a look at teaching our children about wisdom and having wisdom and the value of having a good name. We are representing family, not only the family of God, but we are representing our families. And yet, our children need to know and to learn and to understand how important that is. I remember when our children were growing up in grade school and high school, oh, you're one of the homes kids. I never knew if that was good or bad. But nonetheless, oh, you're one of the homes kids. And what troubled me was, that's how they were. That's how they grew up. Now, I didn't teach them that, but yet we roughed it up a lot in our house. Our girls were just rough, and I showed them no mercy because they showed me no mercy, even when they were babies. One bit me, I bit her back. My wife was upset, and I said, well, teach her not to bite. She said, it's easy for you to say. You don't have to breastfeed this child. One night, I had the unfortunate pleasure to experience what that was all about Well, my daughter got mixed up because we switched sides of the bed. And I was on my side of the bed, and she rolled up under me and said, that looks familiar. And I had awakened out of my sleep screaming because I didn't think it was possible for this to happen. And the pain that I felt, it felt like it was went all the way down to my toes. And so when my wife would explain things to me about breastfeeding and how it helps the body come back together, I believe her beyond a shadow of a doubt. From that day moving forward, I never went to bed without at least two shirts on, just for safety purposes. But yet, God says they are a gift. We learn a lot from them. We have to learn, family, to teach them the value of a good name, the value of our name, and the value of God's name. Proverbs 22, let's go over to start in verse 1. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. You know, our young people today think more about money than anything else. They think about money. They think about, you know, their lives and what they're going to do and how they're going to do things. And yet, it's sad when I see corruption taking place within our young children because of the fact that someone had introduced to them that money was more important. Money was more important. But a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. We must teach our children this. This is very important. God's desire is for us to teach our children about the value of having a good name. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them both. He is the maker of them both. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. We are to teach our children the difference between good and evil, right and wrong. Because from these lessons, family, they begin to learn to have wisdom. Verse 4, the humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor of life. This is what God wants us to teach our children. The humility, the fear of the Lord, they are riches, their honor, and their life. Verse 6, train up the child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from this. You know, as I look back over our children, now look at my grandchildren. Even though many of my children are not in the church, but what I like and what I see is the values that are being taught to my grandchildren is what was taught to them. Train up the child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. You see, sometimes we think because they're not here, they don't get it, they don't understand it. But yet, the question here is, did we teach them? Did we take the time to follow God's instruction and teach our children of what's important in life? That when they're older, they have that foundation to fall back on. I've been having many conversations. It was just interesting that one of my kids called me this morning, and we were having this discussion about teaching the children. And the question was asked to me, are you speaking today? Yes. What are you speaking about, Dad? Teaching the children. It's funny you should ask that question. Teaching the children. And as I said in the beginning, I'm going to share with you a lesson that I learned during the feast when it came to teaching our children. But we are to teach them to have the values, teaching them how to exercise and to use wisdom. This is what Proverbs 22 is bringing out to us. Proverbs 22 and verse 15, it says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. And it is. When you look at your kids, if you have children, or look at others' children running around, there's a lot of foolishness bound up in their heart. Just remember what it was like when you were a child. You were that sweet, innocent, obedient little person. Mommy and Daddy said, stop, you stop. Mommy and Daddy said, come, And you did. Mommy and Daddy said, sit down and eat. Oh, you were that precious little child who didn't do anything. I mean, anything wrong. Well, I'm sorry to report to all of you, I wasn't that kid. And when God said foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, when I go back and I think about all the trouble that I got into when I was little, oh, I get it. I see it. And growing up in the Catholic schools, here is what was interesting to me, is the second part of this conversation. So if the foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, the rod of correction will drive it out far from them. I learned that in Catholic schools. I learned that the hard way. I think I saw more of a paddle in grade school than I did in my entire life. And all I had to do was just disagree with something that was being said. And the conversation would go like this, but the Bible says, So I was instructed that I was wrong, they were right, and go to the principal's office. The principal and I became good friends. She always got to the end of the matter, and I always was able to submit, yes, ma'am, and go back to the classroom. A little sore, but yet she made her point. I lost the battle. He says, he who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. Teaching them wisdom, teaching them the understanding about money, about finances. Verse 17, incline your ear to hear the words of the wise. You know, I find this very difficult today. Try to go out and have young people to stop and listen to something that you're trying to explain to them and to share with them. And you will get a response back like, oh, that's how it was done in your day. Oh, that's just nonsense. That doesn't make sense. But yet, we have to teach them to lend an ear to words of wisdom that are coming from others. We teach them to have respect for others. I would dare not, as a child, walk into the congregation and I would look up and I would see Mrs. Forehand and I would say, good morning, Margaret, how are you? My trip home will be nothing but pure silence until I got into the house because I showed disrespect to my elder. And then the instructions will be given to me as to how I am to approach someone who is not just elderly, but someone who is a lot wiser than I. I would dare not do that. Today, it's a different story. But it's all in our upbringing and what we teach our children. If you want them to have respect, you should teach them to be respectful. Verse 18, for it's a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. Let them all be fixed upon your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. We are to teach our children, family, to have trust in the Lord. Verse 23, the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. Make no friendship with an angry man. Make no friendship with an angry man. Again, these are wise instructions that are given to us, and we are to pass these instructions on to our children. Our children will bring to us information about things that have taken place at school. They will bring to us information about what goes on with other children. Do we lend an ear to them, and are we listening to them so we know how to guide and to direct them? We are asking God, family, to protect them, to watch over them, to care for them, and to bless them. And God is instructing you and me today with our responsibilities to teach them. To teach them. Deuteronomy 11. We are to teach our children to obey and to fear God and to keep his commandments. Deuteronomy 11. Let's start in verse 1. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes. Here we go again with these statutes and judgments. We are to keep them and his commandments always. Always. There wasn't an end here. We are to keep his judgments, his statutes, always. This is our charge. He says, know today that I do not speak with your children. He says, I don't speak to your children. Why? Because they have not known the chastening of the Lord for you. His greatness they know nothing about. His mighty hand, again, they know nothing about. His outstretched arm, they know nothing about. His signs and his acts, which he did in the midst of Egypt, to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to all of the land. They know nothing about this time period. They know nothing about what God did for the children of Israel. So God is requiring you and me to share this story and lesson with them so that they will learn to obey and to fear God, so that they will learn to trust God as they're asking God for guidance, asking God for direction. Family, we have that responsibility to teach them. To teach them. Verse 8, therefore you shall keep every commandment which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go into a land to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in a land which the Lord swore to give your fathers, to them and their descendants, us, our children. There was a promise that was made, but yet here is a command that's given. Here is what we must do. We must take the time to teach, to pass it on from generation to generation. It doesn't stop just with us. We as grandparents, we have the opportunities that when we have our grandchildren, to sit down with them and to teach them God's way and to show them. Many times, oh, I don't want to see Grandpa. He's so boring. He's going to be talking about the Bible. Well, the command is to teach them. To teach them. Well, if they think it's boring, then it's our responsibility to make God come to life. Make it exciting for them. Find a way to make it exciting for them to learn about God and the importance of obeying God. It all begins, family, with you and me and how we teach them. I try to make these instructions very fun and very exciting. I don't turn them into lectures. They're like little snippets here and there. Because if you turn it into a lecture, yeah, it's boring. They don't want to hear it. I guarantee you. I remember as a kid when I used to come home, if my grandmother was up, and if I came in singing a pop song off the radio, I got quizzed on recite the Ten Commandments without looking at them in the Bible. And don't miss a word. Why? It's because I didn't miss a word of that song. She heard me sing that song all the way through. From the time I got off the bus, the time I walked in the house, I always hated that part right there. That right there, that was a key that I was in trouble. Oh, and I could see her and don't even have to hear it. Well, here it goes. But yet, we are to teach them and show them God's way. Verse 13, and it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all of your soul, then I will give you rain. We have to teach our children that when we are obedient to God, here's what God is going to do for you and for me. He says, I will give you rain, the latter rain, and you may have, so that you may gather your grain and new wine and oil, and also the early rain. I will send grass in your fields for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled. Take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods to worship them, lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you. You see, when he has us to go back and to teach our children about what took place back in the land of Egypt and how he brought Israel out, how dare you turn away from me after I have done all these things for you? How dare you turn from me, and now you're going to go and worship some other god? And many times, family, we've kind of get this in our head that we know what's best. And guess what? That's passed on to our children. And our children begin to feel that way and to think that way. Hey, I know what's best for me. I'm 13 years old. I know what I'm going to be doing in my life. I know where I'm going. You're not the boss of me. Ooh, I see that attitude. You see that attitude. And if you don't, any of you have never seen attitude, I'll tell you what you do. Take yourself on a trip to the grocery store. And just stand and be observant. I may have shared this story with you guys a while back. But I remember, it's been quite a while back, I walked into the grocery store and there was this lady. She was trying to shop, but she had this little boy who was trying to shop also. He was throwing things in the basket. She was taking them out. She says, no, we're not buying this. No, we're not getting this. And so she tried to shop, and then he would come back again. And he would just start throwing things into the basket. And she was telling him constantly, no, we're not buying that. No, we're not getting this. And this went on and on and on, and everybody just kept watching. And then for a moment there, I was feeling bad for her. Then I stopped feeling bad for her. You are the parent. He is the child. Remember what God said? He says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of the child. But a rod will drive it out. Well, we don't do that today because that's child abuse to say. But yet God has given us instructions on how to deal with that. And family, if we don't demonstrate that, then guess what? Then we're going to have a moment of suffering with our children. One of the things that I hated the most to do was to spank my kids. Oh, did not like that. Did not like spanking my kids. But when it had to be done, it was done. And when it was done, it was always three little licks on their bottoms. The girls I had very little trouble out of. One time they got a spanking, and that was it. My son was creative. He was a thinker. I was for certain he was going to be an engineer because he designed the perfect patty because he knew he was only going to probably get three or four licks at the most. If I'm going to get four licks, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pad myself. And I'm going to act like, oh, that really hurts. And so one day he did. But he failed to realize that I would notice that that little narrow bottom was not ever that big. And I looked at him, I thought, this doesn't look good, son. He says, Dad, I'm ready. I'm ready to take my punishment. Yeah, but we have a little slight problem here. Okay? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to change up the order of business today. How about we just go skin to skin? That's not a good idea, Dad. Well, see, you didn't think about that plan, did you? So after that, that was the end of that deal. But I love my daughter's hearts and their attitude. Dad, if this is going to hurt you, then don't do it. I loved my daughter's attitude. Dad, if this is going to hurt you, please, then don't do it. Because I don't want to see you hurt. And I really appreciated that. And I respected that. But yet I had to do it anyway. So their pleading didn't work at that moment. But yet, what had to be done and what needed to be done was done to teach them a lesson. What does God want from us? He wants us to obey Him. He wants us to fear Him. And it starts, family, with how we train up our children. We want God to place His angels around our children for their protection. But if we have a group of heathens running amok all over the place, we're going to wear some angels out. And so we have to get those little ones under control. Why is this important? Because we are going to have that responsibility later on to teach the lady in the grocery store that had the little boy that was constantly being disobedient, running all over the store, throwing stuff in the basket, and she was constantly throwing things out, to sit with her and to explain to her how to work with that little boy. We're going to show them God's way. But family, before we can do that, we have to learn ourselves what God expects of us when it comes to teaching our children and raising our children in the admonition of the Lord. In verse 16, he says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Lest the Lord's anger be aroused against you and shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, and your land will not produce its yield. and you perish quickly from the good land which the Lord has given you. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign in your hand. And it shall be as frontless between your eyes. Verse 19, you shall teach them to your children. We are to teach God's way of life to our children. And we are to show them the examples and why it's so important. But it begins with our children having that respect for you and for me. And if they don't have that respect for you and for me, then family, they're not going to have that respect for God. When God is trying to get their attention, they're going to treat God just like they treat you and me. And that's not what God wants. And that is not what God expects. God expects us to do our part in teaching our children. Let's go over here to verse 25. Verse 25, no man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you today to go after other gods which you have not known. So there are blessings and there are cursings, family. If we obey God, we get the blessing. If we disobey God, then there's a curse. And we must teach our children this. We teach our children, when you obey me, there's a blessing and there is a reward. And when you disobey me, now we're both uncomfortable. Now we're both uncomfortable. But you, as the parent, must follow through. If you tell your children you're going to do something, we got to follow through. We got to do it. Very seldom did I ever tell my kids they're getting a spanking in advance. You know why? Because I forget about it. And they knew I would. If I told them in advance, they had no fear. They had no worry. Dad's going to forget about it. My grandmother wasn't like that. You would stay out and sneak in the house. And you would crawl into your bed at night. You thought you got away. And all of a sudden, your light comes on. And you look at the door. I don't know who I feared most at that moment, God or my grandmother. But she was there in the present. And I knew when she came to mean business. And yet, therefore, family, we are to teach our children to obey. Fathers and mothers have the responsibility, the ultimate responsibility, to teach their children. Ephesians 6, let's go over here. Ephesians 6, take a look at verse 1. We are to teach our children to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. We as parents are to teach them to obey each other. Children, you obey your mother, and you obey your father. If you obey, then there are rewards. If you don't, then there are consequences, and they must learn about those consequences. And then if we do this, family, they will learn that I don't like the consequences. You know, family, we would rather them learn from you and me than from our society. Because our society will not show them that love and care that we will show them. When my children were in trouble with me, if they got 3 licks on their bottom side, I picked them up. I hugged them. They were crying. They didn't see that I was crying too, but they were crying. And I tried to love them until that hurt went away. And I tried to encourage them, let's not do this again. Because this wasn't pleasant. This wasn't fun. And it's not. But when society gets a hold of our children, they're not going to show them that love. They're not going to pick them up until the tears go away. They will abuse them. And yet, family, that's not what we want for our children. I love during the Black Lives Matter movement. I don't know how many of you saw this mother who realized that her son was out there in the streets creating mayhem with his friends. And she went out and she recognized her son. Even though he had a hoodie on and all this other gear on, she knew her son. She went out there, snatched that hoodie off of him, and took that scowl or whatever he had covering his face up. She took it off. She grabbed him by the ear and told him he's coming home. Oh, no, you're not going to stay out here, because she knows what's going to happen to him if he chooses to continue to go that way. That's not what she wanted for him. She wants him to come home so that she can continue to deal with him. Now, how do you think he felt when on national television, he's now exposed, and all his buddies and friends see his mother pulling him by the ear, dragging him home? Oh, he was throwing a fit, but she was throwing one right back with him. She was the boss. He wasn't the boss. She was the boss. She took matters into control, into her own hands, and she got him back where she needed him to be. And she got him back alive. She got him back alive. And sometimes, mothers, that's what you have to do. You have to snatch your children up and say, okay, you know what? We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. And hopefully you don't have to do it the hard way. Hopefully you have raised your children to the point where they will at least hear your voice. They will listen to you. They will follow your words of instruction. We have to teach our children to honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment of promise. That it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. This mother wanted her son to live long. So she went out in the midst of all the mayhem and drug her son home so that he could remain alive. Verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Very strong message to us fathers. Sometimes we get a little impatient with our children. That's why God gave us our wives, so that we are able to have that proper balance. He says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Don't provoke them to wrath. You are to bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. We as fathers have a great responsibility here when it comes to the upbringing of our children. And as a grandfather, I still have that same responsibility. I have that same responsibility to train up my grandchildren in the admonition of the Lord. Here's a quote from William Tiptaft. He says, children take more notice of what their parents do than what their parents say. They're watching. They're listening. They're taking notes from us. They're taking notes from our behavior. I was laughing one day. My daughter was driving in the car. We were going out to dinner somewhere. And I always had this habit when they were little. My right arm would be on the door, and my finger would be stuck up between the window and the little felt padding that, you know, locks the window in place. And I would just drive down the road with that, my arm on the door, my finger stuck up in that padding. Why? I don't know. It just did it, you know. And every vehicle I had, if I'm driving down the highway, that was my comfort. Left arm. Left arm on the door, finger stuck up between the window and that padding. And I'm just driving down the highway. And I fell over laughing this year at the feast. My daughter was driving the car. And I looked over at her. She had her elbow on the door and her finger stuck up between the padding and the glass. I'm thinking, why? The kid's like, she does this all the time. I'm like, where did she get that from? I wonder. You know, they watch and they take note and they observe our behaviors. And they mimic us, whether we like it or not. They mimic us. In words, in deeds, they mimic us. And so we have to be careful, family. We have to be careful in the things that we do. And we are not to provoke our children to wrath. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. What I'm doing, family, is I'm taking out passages here that instruct us and give us the direction as to what we are to do with our children. God expects us to raise up godly children. He has given those children to us. You know, they're kind of on loan to you and to me. They're on loan to you and to me because He wants to call them later on. And so He has given these instructions to us because He has a plan for our children. Now, He knows that they're not going to obey and they're not going to always do what's right, but what He expects of you and me is that we teach them and we show them what is right. Now, granted, as they get older, it's amazing. We don't see it, but with God's plan, all we have to do is do what He has commanded us to do. And He will take it from there. But we have to do our part. Deuteronomy 6. Let's go down to verse 2. Well, let's start in verse 1. Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments, again, which the Lord God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all of his statutes and his commandments. Here we see this again. We saw this earlier in chapter 11, which I command you, you, your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. We are teaching our children in order to have that long life. Even for us, we must obey the commands and the statutes of God. Family, we have a great responsibility in teaching and training our children to grow up the way God desires them to grow up. They're on loan to you and to me. And God has expectations of us. He says, therefore, hear, O Israel, be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord your God, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you. A land flowing with milk and honey. You know, God has really blessed this nation, and he has blessed you and me. We can sit back and we can look at all the blessings that God has given to us. And we can show that and share that with our children. You know, my granddaughter, during the feast, something was just troubling her one day, and she says, Pappy, I have a question to ask you. I said, sure. She says, are you rich? Well, why do you ask that question? The food is expensive. Everything here is expensive. But it seems it don't bother you. You just pay for it. Well, it is expensive. Are you having a good time? Yeah, but are you rich? Well, if I answer the question, is this going to cost me later on? You know, I've raised daughters. I know where this is going. But she wanted to know if I was rich. I have 5 children, 5 granddaughters, 5 grandsons. Yes, I am very rich. Very rich. Because if children are a blessing and a heritage, then we already took notice of that greater value of them than we do gold and silver. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Teach them. We're being told to teach them, family, God's way. Teach them God's way. To teach them how to love one another. To teach them how to be obedient. Because, see, one day they're going to be parents. One day they will be parents. And so this has to be passed on to them so they can pass it on to their children. And there are those times, family, we have to correct our children. Because God corrects us. And sometimes it doesn't hurt to let our children see and to know when they ask, why are some things happening, you know, to you? You know, Dad, why did this situation happen? Or why did that happen? Well, you know what? Dad made a mistake. And it's okay to let them know and let them in. You know, a lot of times we don't want them to know. But you know what? We need to be transparent and let our children know. You know what? I made a mistake. And because of this mistake, here's what happens. And so I'm teaching you this, and I'm allowing you to see this because there will come a time in your life when God will chasten you. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, let's go down to verse 15. We are given instructions here to correct our children. Correction is not easy. We know that. Even as adults, correction is not easy. But correction must take place. Proverbs 29 and verse 15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. That paddle and these instructions is going to give wisdom, is what we're being told. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. I go back to the grocery store again. I felt bad for this woman. But I wanted to take that little boy. And I just want to take him off the scene for a minute and say, ma'am, go ahead. You go ahead and shop. Meet the little guy and I out front. You know, she would probably be terrified of that. But yet, she would get her shopping done. But she would be terrified. Or I could just let him shop and I take her out and we sit out and talk. Because he has no money, so you don't have to worry about him leaving the store or anything. But yet, family, do you see the point here? A child left to himself brings shame to the mother. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases. But the righteous will see their fall. Correct your son. Correct your daughter. And they will give you rest, is what the Bible says. These are instructions given to you as parents. Correct them and they will give you rest. If you're tired of a little mayhem that these little guys and gals are creating for you, correct them and they will give you rest. And they will give delight to your soul. So there are benefits when we do this. And there is agony if we don't do it. Here's a quote by an unknown author. Even when our children are away from our authority, they are never away from God's. Even when our children are away from our authority, they are never away from God's. We have to teach our children and let them know and understand the fact that just because I'm not around doesn't mean I don't know what's going on. Because God does. As a child growing up in our home, my aunt had a great relationship with God. When she would come home from work, the first thing she would do is let us know that she was home, and she would go into her study. And that's where she would be for the first hour after she gets home. In that study, it's prayer time for her. It's her downtime to be connected with God. It's her time to have that conversation with God. One morning she was leaving, going to work, and she came out to me and she says, hey, you know we just put new storm windows in the house, right? I said, yes. She said, you know how you like to go out back and you like to throw the ball up in the air and you like to butt the ball up in the air with the bat, right? I said, yeah. She said, don't do that. I said, why not? Because we just put new windows in the house. Mom, I'm way out there in the field. What does that have to do with me butting the ball up in the air? She says, just don't do it. Okay? I said, Mom, look, every time I do that, I bunt the ball, it goes up in the air, I catch it. Every time. You've seen me do this over and over, and her demeanor never changed. She said, just don't do it. Okay? So what am I going to do now? Can't go out back. Can't climb the trees and my grandmother be all over me. You know, what's a little 12-year-old boy to do? So I watched her leave. She pulled out the drive, went down the street. I waved at her like I always do. But it wasn't that loving wave that I would give to her. It was like, okay. She's gone. She was clear out of sight on a one-way street. So that means she couldn't come back. So I had this idea. Brilliant idea. I would go a little further out in the yard. And I'm going to do what she told me not to do, but I'm not going to be close to the house to do it. I'm going to bunt the ball. And I'm going to catch it like always. Never failed. So I did. I went out, hit the ball. The ball hit a branch. The branch just some kind of way sprung the ball back towards the house. And when it sprung the ball back towards the house, I didn't even turn around and look. I heard crash. I had to think quickly. What am I going to do? So I went inside. It was a storm window. I ran all around the house to look to see how many of the storm windows were the same size. So the one on this side matched the one on the opposite side. So I went and took that one out, put it in the kitchen. Put that one in the kitchen, put it on the other side. So now when Mom finds it, the kids next door did it. and she'll be upset with them. I didn't want to be in trouble with her. So I went inside, did it, cleaned all the glass up. Everything was great. I knew what time she was coming home, so I thought, hey, I'll go in. She put hamburger meat out tonight. We're going to have hamburgers and french fries for dinner. So I will go ahead and get it started. Now, mind you, my grandmother's upstairs in the front. She knows nothing about what's going on. She doesn't have a clue. She hangs out in her room watching the stories all day long. Mom comes home. She announces that she's home. She goes into her study. When she came out, I just made the first hamburger. And I told her, there are other hamburgers. I went ahead and made the hamburgers for you, Mom. She walked in the living room. She looked at me right as I was taking a bite of that burger and said, when I left, you went in the backyard. You bunted the ball. And it broke the kitchen window. My throat kind of closed up. I couldn't swallow. I don't even think I breathed for a moment. I'm trying to figure out, what do I say? Do I agree with this? She doesn't know. How does she know? God told her. She went into the study. God knows. She prayed to God. He told her. That's the only way she could know, because nobody else knew I did this. She told me to go and take the broken window out from wherever I put it back in the kitchen, and I'll deal with you later. I lost my appetite. Things just didn't go well. God told on me. And so, I was punished for that, and rightly so. So the next day, I was doing my yard work. I was out cleaning the yard. Mowed the grass, trimmed the hedges, sweeping around the house. I got into the driveway up under the kitchen window. And to my surprise, this bright, brilliant young man never cleaned up any of the glass that broke and it was laying in the driveway when she pulls up and her headlights hit and they're just sparkling all over the place. And I thought, God didn't tell her. You're so dumb. Cannot believe you're this dumb. God didn't tell her. And I said, wait a minute. But how does she know about the rest of the stuff? So that day, I began to fear God and my mother. And so, family, I say this to say, you know, as children, there's foolishness bound up in the heart of a child. And God says, the rod and the reproof will drive it out of them. It will drive them out of them. But yet, family, we have to have the ability to be able to follow God's instructions. God's not talking about beating our children or putting marks on them or trying to beat them senseless with whatever you get your hands on. No, he says to correct them. And when we correct in love. We correct in love. And I grew up in a home that believed in God and believed in obeying God and following the word of God. And so I taught that to my children. And I've shared these stories with my kids. They all thought it was funny. But I taught it to them so that they didn't make the same mistakes. For the most part, they did and they didn't. I had to allow them the opportunity to make their own mistakes. And then I also had to allow them the opportunity to learn from those mistakes. You know, during the feast, I was corrected. I was corrected by my daughter because we were having dinner. And we had three boys, my grandson and two other boys, in our condo. The boys were having a grand old time. I enjoyed watching the boys have fun. No tablets, no cell phones. They were just boys, just being boys. I loved that. But the mothers said, hey, we probably need to get them to stop. I said, no, leave them alone. Yeah, but they're not showing, you know, due care to the furniture. Oh, they're just jumping off of it. The ottoman is just a little beanbag type deal. They're all right. They're not going to hurt themselves. So my daughter just kind of backed off. That's beside that. If I hear a thud or if I hear them screaming or crying, I'll go and stop them. Well, at that point, it's too late. But they were enjoying themselves. They were having fun. And I, as a grandparent, didn't follow through and do what I was supposed to do. That was to have the boys stop. So I finally had them to stop. I was getting these glares and these looks. And that may be kind of uncomfortable. So after our guests left, my grandson and I got in trouble by his mom. And I told my grandson, see what trouble you got me into? He says, well, you were laughing too. I said, yeah, I was. I said, I should have stopped you, but I didn't. And my daughter was right. She was right. I should have stopped them. I should have taken them outside, took them over to the oasis so they could really have fun. But they were having fun right there in the condo. But yet the lesson is this. I am never relieved of that responsibility to teach the children, even though they were my grandchildren, and even though they were someone else's child. But that responsibility is still there. And then I thought about the awkward moment that I would have if one of them were injured, and then I had to go to God and anoint them. What do I tell God? Well, they were having a good time and horse playing, but yet I also have to identify the fact that I had a responsibility here as well. I couldn't just put it all on them. My responsibility was to stop them before they were injured. You know, which reminds me, let's go to James 5. Real quick, please. James 5. And let's go down to verse 13. He says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs of praise. If anyone among you is sick, let him go call the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. And I thought about this. I said, well, who sinned here? The kids were having fun. They were horse playing. They were being boys. But verse 16 says, we are to confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. In this situation with the boys, I would have to ask God to forgive me for allowing that roughhousing to take place when I knew it shouldn't have been and when I knew the dangers that were present in that room. I didn't. There was a place for them to go and have fun, and the living room wasn't a place for them to do that. I would have to ask God to forgive me first before anointing them and praying. I would have to ask for forgiveness because that situation could have been prevented. It could have been prevented. When we come to the blessing of the children, let's go over to Matthew 19. When we come to the blessing of the children, Matthew 19 and verse 13 teaches us, here's Christ's sin. Here's disciples. Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, and then they departed from there. God says, don't forbid the children to come to me. Those children are a gift. They are a blessing. Let's go back one chapter, Matthew 18. Matthew 18, a lesson for you and for me today. Matthew 18, let's go to verse 1. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become like little children. He's not telling us to go back in time and start putting on and acting like a child. He's talking about that humility. He's talking about that innocence. He says, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child, regardless of the things that our children do, there is still today some innocence left in many of our little children. And I would say that boldly about the children within the family of God. There's still some innocence. There's still that humility. And family, before that gets away from us, we've got to make sure that we're channeling and we're doing all that we can to raise them up the right way. Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child like this in my name, he says, you receive me. I said in the beginning, I asked the question, when does the blessing of the children, when does that end? You know, they're small children. When does that blessing end? When is it over? I told you, all my children were blessed. One of my daughters was 28 years old. I received a phone call at 1 o'clock in the morning. All I heard was, "Dad, the house is on fire." And then the phone hung up. That was it. Can you imagine getting that call and then the call ended? Can you imagine what's going through my head? Just imagine what would be going through your head if you received that call. And so I raced over to their home. When I arrived there, the house was engulfed in flames. The whole entire house was. And I'm standing here. I don't know where my heart is. I absolutely do not know where my head is. But I walked down the street. The firemen were standing around trying to put the fire out. The fire chief said, "Just start taking out body bags because we probably lost everybody in this house." And I'm standing here, and in my head, in my heart, I'm saying, "I just received a phone call from this child. And now I see this house up in flames." And I'm standing here, and my heart is just pounding. I feel it. I found it now. My head is pounding. And all of a sudden, I heard out of a distance, "Daddy." And I'm thinking it's coming from the house, and I'm trying to get to the house, and they're keeping me back. I'm saying, "No, my daughter's calling out to me." She says, "No, buddy, nobody in that house is alive." And so my daughter ran up behind me. She says, "Daddy," and she grabbed me. And there I was grabbing her. And so thankful. Because in that house was my daughter, her husband, and their two children. Her mother-in-law and father-in-law. And their other two sons were in that house. And she said, "Something woke me up." And she says, "When I had awakened," she says, "I started screaming for everybody to get out of the house." I asked her, "Did you know what was going on?" She says, "No, I just told everybody to get out of the house." And we got out of the house went, poof. It was engulfed in flames. Moments later, their dog walked out the door, walked down the steps, and just fell over. And he died. And they loved that little dog. And I started thinking at that moment what that day meant. That day, after that child was born and we had her blessed, what I saw at the age of 28 of that child there, God was continuing to keep his promise, to protect her, to watch over her. And there was no greater joy than to see them all alive. And the fire marshal's asking, "How is this possible?" He asked, "How did you all get out of the house?" And the fire station was only two blocks away. How? How, family? Is because of God. Reminding me, and I'm reminding all of you today, that blessing still holds. God will keep his promise. He will watch over our children. He will protect them, even when they go astray. Because we have prayed and we ask him to make for sure that you take an account of our children. These are our children. And I was thankful to hear this voice calling out to me in the darkness and in watching the flames of this house burn this house down to the ground. That my daughter, her husband, their two children, her mother and father-in-law, and her two brother-in-laws escaped this house. God will keep his promise. So family, we have a responsibility to our Father to keep his laws and his statutes and to teach our children diligently the ways of God, to teach them the commandments of God, to teach them to respect their mother and their father. We don't have to beat that into them. We have to teach them. We demonstrate and we show to them the love for them as God shows that love for you and for me. He doesn't beat it into us. He does chastise us. He does correct us. We, parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles, have a responsibility to God to raise our children in according to his word. The last quote here is by Lindsay Bell. She says, the goal of parenting is not to create perfect children. It's to point our children towards a perfect God. It is to point our children towards the goal of a perfect God. That's what we're to do. We know, family, that perilous times will come. We know that we're living in a time when children will be disobedient to our parents, to their parents. Well, let it not be our children. Let it not be our children. If our children are out of the house and they're grown and on their own, don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. God hasn't given up on you and me. God has another plan. And God's plan was for the purpose of saving all of mankind. But yet, maybe he has not called them at this time. And we have to accept that. Jesus Christ said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent him draws those individuals. Some of us have tried calling our children, haven't we? Didn't work. Why? Because it's God who does the calling. And so we have to have faith and trust in God that maybe not this life, maybe the next. But he has called you and me. And because of the fact that he has called you and me, we have a responsibility to him to teach our children, to raise our children the right way, to show them that love that they need, to give them that guidance, to correct them when that correction is needed. And don't hesitate to correct them, because your correction will be the correction of love. Our society will not show that love to our children. If our children get locked up and put in jail, they're not going to be shown love in prison or even in the jail. Then what we want to do is prevent that from happening. We want to be like that mother who went out in the midst of all that mayhem, took that hoodie off her son, grabbed him by his ear, and told him to come home because she wanted him alive. And the Bible teaches us, parents, to teach our children. Children, to obey your parents so that you may live long. He wants to prolong your life. And to do so, family, we have a responsibility. If we're not doing our part, let's start today. Because our children have received that blessing and that promise from God. That blessing will go on. But will we continue to be faithful? To be faithful. It's not easy in today's society raising small children. But we as a family. Remember before we talked about that village. How important this village is in helping to rear our children. That's our responsibility. Family, let's take that responsibility seriously. Let's love our children as we continue to show that love and honor to Jesus Christ and God the Father. And let's raise them the way that God wants us to raise them. They are a gift. They've been given to us. And you know what? God would like to have them back. So we have a job to do. Let's get that job done.